What would an alternate name for this podcast be?
The Average Blokes. That starts with A.
Or just Average Blokes. That'll get us higher up on iTunes, right? From Brisbane, Australia, this is episode 34 of The Normal Blokes, a podcast dedicated to improving the competitive 40K experience. I'm Denith.
And I'm Wayne Russell. No, I'm kidding, it's Liam.
He's in 34 from 34.
I just set a new land speed record on the Wayne Russell quote.
That's like that UFC knockout and the flying knee in like 2 seconds.
How are you, Denith?
Yeah, good man. So Luke and Jordan cannot join us tonight, but we've got a really cool topic. Hopefully people like it. It is underutilized and underrated units. So how are you this fine evening, Liam? Getting ready for ETC, I'm assuming?
Well, the countdown is on. The countdown till we go to scenic and not crime-stricken at all Serbia, which should be terrific. We've also got this weekend WinterCon down in Canberra.
Yeah,
so which should be really good. Yeah,
I dropped off 30 gaunts to Eric because he needed painted ones today, and I was like, "Buddy, you better get these boys on stream."
I actually don't know if he listens to the podcast, but I am taking down 60 plague bearers for Matt Morazzoli so that he can play in the tournament, which I may or may not give him so that he loses. But
just,
hey,
just drop it in the bin on the way into the tournament, mate.
Oh, it's a pus bus coming in.
All right, so I guess before we start, thank you for anyone who supported us on Patreon. It's been really good, and thank you to everyone who's left reviews on iTunes. I checked the other day, and we have like a handful of iTunes reviews that aren't me and my mum, so it's really handy.
That's awesome.
But yeah, thanks for that. Otherwise, we'll get straight into it. So Liam, hit us with the main topic of today.
All right. So I think Denith and I wanted to have a chat about underutilized units. One of the reasons it's great to have a chat about this is that 8th edition, especially where it is right now, has one of the most diverse metas competitive 40K has ever seen. You really don't see a single codex or even a single three codexes like coming to the top. Did you say orcs?
Maybe.
Well, that's rude, but also fair. But you really don't see, like, I guess, a single list dominate tournaments. And especially at team events, though you do see a common, you know, dozen or so lists, the fact that there are a dozen lists that are all pretty viable is a good way for any game to be. So Denith and I kind of wanted to have a bit of a chat about units that people don't seem to use that much, that, to be honest, I don't understand why. There are some units that you can make extremely competitive, and there are some lists you can make extremely competitive.
Yeah.
And I know that there are some favorite units of both Denith and mine, that Denith's and mine rather, that we both want to have a chat about. Denith, do you want to take that away?
Yeah, of course. So we've both selected three units we want to talk about. There's actually a common theme here, that's Necrons and Space Marines. But I've just looked at the list now, I'm like, oh, fuck. So the first one I wanted to talk about, and it's going to be a contentious choice, is actually Drop Pods.
Oh, and hit us with the hotness.
What are drop pods now, like 60-something points? I can't even remember
how low they are. I haven't seen one in such a long time, but this is going to be really led by you because I know nothing about
drop pods. Let me open up Battlescribe and figure how many points a drop pod is. So the reason I say it is, as a Space Marine player, as a historical Space Marine player, I play a few things now, but that don't vary from Space Marines. I play female Space Marines. This is a battle. but it's pretty fucking shit when you get smited off the table. And it's pretty average when you get mortal wounded or you just get peppered down by bolters. So it's good to have something that, you know, is some kind of cheap wound shield. So if you look at a Rhino, for example, which is classically quite a good soaker of shots, a Rhino is around the 75-ish points mark. So 7.5 points per wound. A drop pod is 65 points. And what a drop pod essentially is a half Rhino or an 80% Rhino that can deep strike.
And so 80%.
It's T6 and it's 8 wounds. So it's 8 wounds for 65 points versus 10 wounds for 75-ish points. So a similar comparison to, you know, for points for wound, but it could fucking deep strike. The reason I like it is Marines often have trouble with mobility. Repulsors make them good. Death Watch is also nice because you can deep strike veteran squads. But Dropbots have another utility that... Have you read the most recent errata, Liam, about drop pods and like how their areas defined?
No.
So it's pretty ambiguous, but it kind of says you can model your drop pods doors down and that counts as the area.
Wait, hang on. So... If you have the doors of the drop pod down, that big starfish that's on the table,
big
that all counts as part of the model.
It's pretty ambiguous, yeah. So I'm going to open up the FAQ now and read it.
Whoa. So for deep strikes, you would have to measure 9 from all parts of that.
Yeah.
Oh, my.
So, but you can also just model it standing up, right? So let me have a look. I think it's in the designer's commentary. Should be more prepared for this kind of thing. But you know what you can do? Turn 2, deep strike 4 drop pods in the middle of the field and 120 plague bearers aren't getting through that.
But just to be sort of the devil's advocate for a sec, be careful there because those models can't move, can they? So if you're touched in combat, you're kind of locked.
That's right. I'll put it more than 3 inches away from an objective so I'm holding it and the plagueies can't reach it. That's all good.
you beast.
So for 65 points, you get this deep striking 80% rhino. What you can also do is, on the rules of drop pod, it says, during deployment, this model can be set up in orbit. Emphasis on the word can.
You can deploy a drop pod?
100%. 100%. So if you've got a little piece of terrain, you pop your repulsor or land raider or whatever on that piece of terrain, put 2 drop pods in front of it, and it's in cover. It's 50% obscured.
Huh.
You can also... It also has a transport capacity.
They
have a 3-up armor. It also has a transport capacity. So, yes, you can put dudes in the fucking drop pod. So, when it gets blown up turn 1, you have a second screen. So.
That's very saucy.
Not amazing, but I just had a look at it the other day because I thought, you know what? Should I have drop pods in my Death Watch army for no apparent reason? And I looked at it and I was like, oh, fuck. That's kind of cool. So, that's my number one. Not an amazing choice, but it's got a few things that you can look at. Liam, what's your number one?
Well, you actually lied to the audience, Denise. Because when I said destroyers, I actually meant ad mech destroyers.
Oh, yes.
The old Cataphron destroyers. Now, I want to add a caveat here that when I said underutilized units, I kind of meant in the local Brisbane meta, or at least in Australia, from what I can see. From my time going to tournaments, especially around Brisbane, I see very, very few players playing pure ad mech or even ad mech with other things. Whereas if you have a look at the ETC lists that have been published, and maybe we can add a link to the lists, Denise, in the podcast show notes.
Yeah, we actually shared the lists on the page. I think it was like a dodgy link, so we'll try and find the new one. But we'll pop it in the notes as well.
One way or another. But the Cataphron Destroyers are, to be perfectly honest, I reckon the best troops choice, or one of at least, in the game. So what you get for, I think it's like 40-ish points a model, you get a toughness 5 model, which can move and shoot without any penalty, which helps because every gun you can give it is heavy. It's T5, 4-up armor, 3 wounds. So already, you know, you're paying a fair bit for this body. But what matters is the strats you can use and the guns you can put on it. So again, this is a troop's choice. Your army can literally be nothing but a character and like 50 of these things. These things can be given a 5-shot heavy grav cannon. So strength 5, negative 3 AP, 1 damage, which becomes D3 damage if you're shooting anything with a 3-up armor or better, which is, by and large, most things that you want to do D3 damage against anyways.
Yep.
So that sounds okay. But if you have a think about it, a single squad of these things can contain 12 of these. So a single squad can pump out, you know, 60 grav shots. 60. You're going to pick up, you know, not just an entire orc unit, you're going to pick up an entire anything unit. I'm talking, you know, a squad of full 10 custodies. I reckon you'll pick up the majority of that entire unit. But also, you know, they've got a BS of 4, which makes them kind of unreliable. But GW is kind of kind to people who want to spend $500 on a single squad. They gave them they're pretty expensive. I'm not going to add that because it kind of disproves my point. They're $100 to 3 in Australia, it's very painful. But GW gave that army a Vigilus detachment.
Mm-hmm.
And that Vigilus detachment is the Servitor Maniple, which is absolutely incredible. It gives you a strat, just a simple 1 CP strat, +1 to hit. So there's nothing bad about that. That's objectively just awesome. And then there's another one CP strat if you're near another unit to give you plus one to hit again. So suddenly you've got this unit pumping out 60 grav shots with hitting on a 2+ with a reroll. That's just incredible. The amount of damage you can put it. Yeah, it's monstrous. But then, you know, you really pile on more things into this unit. You can give it deep strike for one. You just make it Lucius, and for one CP it can sit in space until it's got no enemies around. You can keep going with these units, but the point is that it's a unit that you don't see too much that I think looks boring on paper, but you go have a look at all the combos you can do with it, and it's basically a Tau army in a single squad. It's it's incredible, man.
Yeah, wow, that actually, doing the math, that actually does pick up like 5 custodes.
Yeah, but that's just one of their options. Yeah. The other option is the heavy grav cannon. Sorry, the heavy plasma cannon. Mm. So it gives each model D6 shots, 36-inch range, and then you can overcharge it for strength 8, neg 3, 2 damage flat.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why that's important is, you know, then your silly little unit of guys is pumping out 12 D6 plasma shots hitting on 2s from halfway across the table that cannot overheat because you've got plus 2 to hit.
That's mental.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Sorry, I could rant about these bad boys literally all day.
And I think that, like, especially where we play in Brisbane and a lot of other areas around the world that we hear about, we start to see all these little cheap hordes. Like, you know, it was guardsmen first, and then it was cultists, and then it was demons and gaunts and whatever you might name it, orcs, grots. But you rarely see a troops choice that's really durable like that and then can deliver the fire support. It started with Death Watch over here. And obviously around, you know, the States and stuff, Death Watch got a bit strong for a while. But seeing something like that that's actually a tough, strong troops choice, it's like a custode with a slightly worse save, of course. Significantly worse save, but it shoots like bloody broadside. So it's cool. It's a really cool option to look at if you're an ad mech player and you want to blow $3,000 on 3 troops choices.
Hey, look, I wrote an army with them and it was only $1,850. I can't think of anything wrong with this at all.
Yeah.
What is your next choice?
My next option is one of my favorite little units in all of 40K. And I've had so much fun playing these guys. And Liam gets an aneurysm hearing about these guys. The Scarabe. So what you get for a humble 13 points is a toughness 3, 6 up save, 40mm base, with 3 wounds. So you're looking at 4.33 points per wound. A nice little smite screen. It also moves, I think, 12 inches.
Doombolt, what?
Yeah. it can, if you take a certain dynasty, it can auto advance 6 inches and move through things. It can also, in another dynasty with Novik, can fight twice. The Scarabs are amazing smart shields. I couldn't stress that enough. You know, a Thousand Suns army won't kill a unit of Scarabs with smites, and then you hide one behind a corner within range of Immortal Pride, and then it runs off and has a field day. They also are amazing at tying up vehicles. Before the Knights Codex was released, Knights could not fall back over Swarms, which was a meme. Swarms, I believe, now can go up to the second story of buildings, so they can fly, or they could fly anyway. They have fly anyway, but you know, they're pretty mobile. They can literally block out an objective from obsec units getting to the center because of how many wounds they have. But one of my favorite little tricks, there's a 1 CP stratagem on a 2+, you can blow up a base and it does D3 mortal wounds. And this is really cool because, you know, you can do that to vehicles and stuff that are hard to wound. You can just roll up and do that. The great thing I like about it, though, is when Liam tries to doombolt my Scarabs and tries to wrap them, I can blow up the one that's wrapped.
It's such a niche answer to a very niche question, but it caused me to have a niche aneurysm, is what it did.
I think we've actually covered this situation on the show before.
Yeah, we have.
So I like them because, you know, in an army that pays, well, it's questionable because I think Necrons are pretty strong now and they're doing pretty well now. And you'd agree because you play Brian a fair bit that they are tough to get through.
You can build a really defensive Necron army, and one of the advantages that Necrons have is they might not inherently be the most durable models, but if even one guy survives, you just win the battle of attrition.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And the Scarab is like, is the vanguard of that. It's like a squad of 9 Scarabs has 27 wounds for 113 or something points. Whatever, 13, or 117 points.
Yeah.
That amount of wounds is insane. Now, there's a 2 CP stratagem that allows you to reanimate the unit of Scarabs. I think that's pretty expensive and I rarely use that. Usually get like 1 or 2 Scarabs back for 2 CP, which is a bit of a waste. But as a front-running troop, like, you can take 27 Scarabs for about 350 points, essentially 351 points. And that's like 81 wounds and so much board control that can just run at an opponent and just laugh.
Exactly. And I think there's definitely something to be said as well for having units that you want at the front of your army that can't be wrapped by enemy units.
Yeah.
So, like, you put Scarabs at the front of your army when you're playing, not so much Genestealer Cult, but let's say you're playing Orcs or Blood Angels or something like that. Mm. They can't just jump at you and wrap a Scarab and then, oh no, I can't shoot you, because your Scarabs can all just fly away. It doesn't
exactly,
even matter.
Exactly, man. Exactly. And, you know, the Scarabs are fearless with Immortal Pride nearby. I had a lot of fun playing. I think I played you at Lords of War that time when I had like 27 Scarabs, 22 Tombblades, Flayed One Bomb. Oh. And it was just like, it was just this flying circus of shit.
It looked, and if anybody listening to this has seen the Denith Patton Tombblades, you'll know how comedic this army truly is.
Forge World Neath Patton, just buy 3 Ghost Arcs and you're good.
Jesus Christ. Yeah.
I had some positive and negative feedback on that. Negative more so than positive. But but yeah, look, definitely about $800 cheaper than buying 27 Tombblades. Liam, what is your second option or second choice?
My next two choices are both Codex Space Marines. Reason why is I think that Space Marines, being one of the first Codexes, were always going to fall behind a little bit with power creep. Even in edition like 8, I think it's better than other editions in this field, but you'll always find that, you know, every Codex that comes out seems to sort of step things up a little bit. You know, like Codex GSC, Codex Orcs. When you look at their stratagems and their units, it kind of poos on Codex Space Marines just a little bit. Even with the Vigilus stuff, they need a bit of help. But I think Space Marines have some units still that are top tier. I think they have units that are simply incredible, that are drastically underused. And one of those is a unit near and dear to Luke's heart here on the podcast, and it's the Thunderfire Cannon. So the Thunderfire Cannon is a heavy support choice Space Marines. It is an artillery piece, so you get the gun, which is tiny and really easy to hide behind, frankly, anything at all. And then you also get, when you pay for the gun, you also get a Tech Marine Gunner. Mm-hmm. And the Tech Marine Gunner is a little character who can repair vehicles and do a bunch of other things. Now, this is not exactly a unit that has, like the Destroyers mentioned before, it doesn't have a big list of stratagems and combos that you can do with it. But it's just inherently so damn useful. So this gun puts out 4d3, strength 5, AP 1, damage 1 shots at 60-inch range, so the entire board, and they ignore line of sight. So functionally, unlike your average guard mortar that's going to, you know, pepper some units and annoy them, this is a unit that threatens things with a decent armor save. This is a thing that can threaten light vehicles. This is a thing that shreds, you know, entire squads of scouts and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But it does it from anywhere to anywhere, line of sight be damned.
Yeah.
Now, that's not going to table your opponent. That's not going to, you know, win you a game outright. But especially, you know, for me personally as an Orc player, when you've got your tank busters or your looters hiding somewhere to do a cheeky to jump and strike the next turn, and your opponent's got 3 of these things sitting in their backfield, they can just pick up your squad from anywhere. Yeah. It makes you change your game plan. You have to spend CP to keep things in reserve. If you're a Genestealer Cult player with your mortars at the back of the field that you need to clear your opponent's screens, and then, oh, suddenly your mortars are dead because the Thunderfire shot.
A Thunderfire Cannon simply, like, easily sweeps up like 3 mortar bases a turn with Gilliman rerolls.
It's incredible. Yeah. Like, they're actually just so damn strong. There is one strat, though, that's definitely worth mentioning, and that's our Tremor Shells. You know, there's not exactly a genius combo here. It's just a 1 CP strat. It makes your Thunderfire Cannon do less damage, but it makes your opponent halve their movement and advance rolls, I think.
Yep. I think it's move, advance, and charge.
I can't quite remember, but the point is that it's and it sorry, it only affects things without fly, which is important.
Fly or Titanic, yeah.
Fly or Titanic. So, you know, again, this is a little unit that I think only costs how many points? I think so it's like 104 points or something.
So in one of the recent updates, a Thunderfire cannon was reduced in points to 92 points. And the Tech Marine Gunner comes with a servo harness, and I'm just opening it up now. A Tech Marine Gunner with servo harness is 56 points. So we're looking at a gun that's like 36 points for that gun. So for for the cost of three mortars, you get 43 strength heavy bolter shots a turn. That is better BS, better AP, better strength.
Yeah, holy hell. Yeah. Because, and again, and especially in a Marine army designed around this concept, you are going to get three of these things to be protected behind your lines. They're not really going to be touched for the entire game, which means you're going to get five or six turns of shooting, 5 times 12, you're going to get 60 D3 shots anywhere on the table. Light infantry, beware. It's just going to be picked up. Now, one thing that I found incredibly good about an army that includes Thunderfire cannons was that how many times, Denith, have you played a game, going off on a segue here, how many times have you played a game where your opponent has had, I don't know, like a single Nurgling or a single scout alive on an objective hiding behind a ruin because they're a good player, and you've been like, damn it, that's going to make a big difference later on.
Yeah. If your opponent just fucks that off straight away.
Yeah, exactly. Because even a squad of mortars is not actually going to... They're not actually going to shift scouts particularly quickly because scouts with camo cloaks, for example, have a 2-up. They're not really going to be shifted by mortars particularly quickly. But a Thunderfire will annoy them. Mm. 2 Thunderfires will kill them. And 3 Thunderfires will start hurting things like Terminators out in the open. It's actually really strong.
Dude, you shoot 3 Thunderfires in a night, it'll take like 4 or 5 wounds off, and the night player's like losing his mind.
Yeah, but tell me this isn't a good ally, for example, into an AdMech army, a Custodian army.
I'm thinking of putting 3 Thunderfires and a Chapter Master into my sister's army. Like, it's so good.
Yeah, dude, make an Imperial Fist detachment. Make it Siegebreaker cohort. I know it sounds silly, but give him the relic so that he can reroll hits and wounds of 1.
Yep.
So a little captain, 3 Thunderfire cannons. You're looking at, 340 points to give your army some of the best Adelina sight shooting in the game.
Yeah. Like, I was thinking of running a Crimson Fist one with Pedro because he's a pretty cheap Chapter Master. And
hell yeah.
And he gives the Tech Marines an extra attack. So, like... It's awesome.
Yeah, like, let's say you're playing Knights. I would honestly, and I say this with 100% like conviction, if I was playing Knights, I would happily drop a single Gallant from my army to take that detachment.
Yeah.
Because it means that when I'm lining you up down the table, if you decide to hide from me, I'm still going to shoot you. Combine that with the Iron Storms that Knights already have, and nothing can hide from you.
Yeah. And look, I've played Luke a few times, you know, recently with a few different lists, and like the maths on an Ironstorm rocket pod shooting a Thunderfire is pretty shit because it's T6 for 1, so the Ironstorm wins it on 5s.
Yep.
And the second that thing gets in cover, like mortars can't kill it.
No.
Other little like Adelina sight things can't really kill it. The T6 is amazing. And the second it loses a wound or two, the Tech Marine next door just heals it back up. So if you can't kill it outright, like if you're not dedicating literally a Basilisk to killing it, it's not going to die.
And something that is definitely worth noting as well is that, and something I learned from Luke, happy to give credit where credit's due, you actually only need 1 Tech Marine gunner near the guns to fire them. You don't need 1 per gun.
So here's the thing. We read the rules. You need 1 Tech Marine gunner within the range to keep it alive, but 1 Tech Marine cannot fire more than 1 gun.
I've been deceived.
I know. I was deceived as well. Me and Luke read it, and I told Luke, look at the second line. Everyone just reads the first line and continues. But yes.
That's
you
it.
Can't,
that's
you
it.
Can't fuck Luke's... off the 2 Tech Marines to run off on the side. Yeah.
Okay, that's it. Luke's off the ADC team.
That you can run it onto an objective. Like, let's say you got 2 objectives near the Thunderfires. You can run the 2 if you don't need to shoot the Thunderfires. I don't know for fucking why you wouldn't shoot the Thunderfires, because they're amazing. But if you didn't need to shoot them one turn, you could sprint the 2 techies off, keep 1 techie within range of all 3 of them, and they'd stay alive. And then when you need to shoot, just advance the Tech Marines back, because they're not shooting anyway, and then all 3 can shoot. So yeah, that's just a little aside. But yeah, like you don't need the Tech Marines to stand there.
No, not at all. So choice two for Denethe.
Wait, I already talked about scribes, but oh, sorry, choice three for me. Yeah.
What? Oh, you went first. My bad.
That's right. So my next choice is actually a list idea I've been having. Both Blood Angels and Death Watch have access to this this weapon. It's not a unit. It's a weapon choice. It's called the Frag Cannon. Now, Death Watch players from 7th edition, and I remember you played this a little bit in 7th, Frag Cannons were a bit fucked, weren't they?
They were insane last edition. Yeah.
I remember you dropped a unit onto like my noob little Stern Guard vets and just blew them away in one game we had. Like, and it was the first game we played. The Frag Cannons in 7th were pretty nasty. So the profile of a Death Watch Frag Cannon, we'll start with, is essentially a heavy flamer profile, but it's strength 6. So it's heavy D6, automatically hitting strength 6, neg 1, 1 damage. Really nice, of course, if a unit's charging you because you just get free shots in Overwatch. But it also has a solid shell option. I think, let me find the... Yeah, it's just a shell option where it's... Oh, shit. Sorry.
Isn't it 2d6? Deathwatch frag,
yeah, Assault 2d6. I'm fucking it up. Assault 2d6. Okay, infinitely better. I like it.
it's twice as good as Tony thought, and he was already thinking
so that. So I'm actually trying this next list idea. Assault 2d6, strength 6, neg 1, 1 damage from one fucking Marine. So this Marine has a twin heavy flamer strapped to his like left shoulder.
And how many can you take in a squad?
Up to 4. So it also has a solid shell option, which is 24-inch range. The flamers are 8-inch range, like a normal flamer. But the solid shell option is 24 inches range, assault 2, strength 7, neg 2, 2 damage. So it's kind of like a suppressor auto cannon round. And I really like this because Death Watch lacks high strength stuff. And they really struggle dealing with vehicles. But the cooler thing about this is if the target is within half range of this weapon, the attacks are now strength 9, neg 3, 2 damage. So it's like a mini las cannon. So
that's if you pretty have good.
Four frag. So let's look at a Death Watch squad. You've got a veteran sergeant with Stormbolter Storm Shield. You've got 4 veterans with Stormbolter Storm Shield. And then you've got 4 frag cannon boys. So that kicks out a 9 man unit. And that's 256 points. So not much more than your normal veteran units that you see. Of course, no Terminator, no bike, no Vanguard vet. Nothing really wants to charge this. And if it's in combat, it still has about 20 attacks. And 9 things fit in a rhino with a hero. So if you charge this, you've got to cop 8d6, strength 6, neg 1 to the face. So automatically hitting, that's on average, 28 hits. And you're wounding orcs on 3s, you're just killing 18 boys.
I got a make or break question for you.
Yeah.
Can you take this and a storm shield on one model?
No, you can't.
So if you take the heavy weapon, can you not equip him with anything else?
No. I'm pretty sure you sacrifice both things. So Death Watch heavy weapon, it comes with frag and crack grenades and only a heavy weapon option.
But still.
Dude, that'd be fucking spastic. But still, if you're shooting this unit, you got to churn through 5 storm shields before you can kill the frag cannon. And like it's actually like you charge it with orcs or anything that doesn't have a no overwatch and it just melts hordes. On top of that, you've got 5 storm bolters, which means 20 shots within half range. Of potentially Hellfire, so it's also churning shit out. And you can, unlike the other veteran squads, you can put these guys in rhinos and drop pods. So I'm looking at a list with 4 units, exactly as described, 4 rhinos, a Derridaeo, Watchmaster, Watch Captain.
I just love the Derridaeo. Its name is so stupid.
5-up invo, mate. It's so nice.
It is pretty
cool. And also the Plasma Derridaeo in an army that actually sprints up at you is pretty cool because it has an overcharge. It's pretty much heavy 5 plasma, strength 8, neg 3, 3 damage. But the Derridaeo, if it stays still, can give itself +1 to hit against fly. So, like, it's pretty fucking solid. And it gives all the rhinos a 5 invo. But yeah, the frag cannon for Death Watch is pretty spastic. Now, I'm just going to open up the frag cannon for Blood Angels because it's a little bit different.
Is it?
It doesn't have the solid shell round.
That would be that's actually just classic Games Workshop to give us the same name weapon for the same faction allegiance, and it's different.
Oh god, my battle scribe shooting itself. Because I used to like taking the frag cannon on Furiosa Dreadnoughts. I thought it was pretty handy to have that to just pepper stuff down and then charge. But let me just open that up. Anyway, Liam, you can fill us with some elevator music if you like.
Beep, 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 beep,
beep, beep. But yeah, I'm actually keen to try this Deathwatch list and see how it goes.
Well, look, I'm actually personally happy for anything that mixes up like a norm in the game. And yeah. Deathwatch armies at the moment are strong, but they're pretty stale. Like most of them are kind of the same.
Mm-hmm. And because I had to, you know, get a few sets of sprues for making the 50 veterans, I've got a couple of frag cannons just sitting there. So definitely can mix it up.
50 veterans.
Fucking 50
veterans. Jesus Christ.
All right, here we go. Furious at one.
I think the thing with the frag cannons as well, and something that I think it's kind of plays into how Deathwatch play anyway, mm-hmm. is that they'd be awesome as a defensive sort of like ability. Say you're, you know, behind a ruin or sitting on an objective, you're in a combat squad protected by juicy Terminators, somebody comes a little bit too close with their Orc Boys, and then, oh, 8d6 flamer shots that auto-kill Orc Boys.
Yeah. And the best thing is, because it's an assault weapon, you can advance and still auto hit.
Wait. Oh, wow. They assault. Yeah. Sorry. I thought you said heavy.
Sorry. I thought it was heavy. And then I checked and it's bloody assault 2d6. So you can advance this unit. You know, you're getting a 12-inch move potentially and an 8-inch flamer range. So you got like a 20-inch kill range of Orc Boys.
Oh, man.
You can just dedicate one of these things to hit Gretchen and it'll just wipe 5 Gretchen.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so I'm definitely playing around with that. So yeah, I really rate them. Blood Angels option on that, you can put one of them onto a Dreadnought. It's Assault 2d6, Strength 6, Neg 1, 1 damage, auto-hitting. It does not have the solid shell. So, little bit shit, GW, give us the solid shell.
So, I'm just trying to think, right? So, this is on a troops choice again. And whenever you give me a troops choice that you know you think is good, my brain immediately goes to spamming it. I'm sorry.
I've got a list with 4 squads of this, and that's 1,000 points.
But like, yeah, so you could totally take a squad of, you know, 5 vets. Say you have, hell, let's do like a close support Deathwatch squad. Mm. Take a sergeant or even a black shield, I don't care. Black shields have their own downsides, but we'll come back, we'll talk about that at a different time. It's not open to interpretation, Denise. Anyway,
fuck, okay.
So a black shield with like a big off Thunderhammer. 4 dudes with frag cannons, and then maybe take 3 Terminators with storm shields and thunder hammers.
Mm.
And then you've got this unit that you could probably deep strike that's really difficult to shoot off the table. You don't really want to come close to it. And yeah, it can't really reach out and kill squads, but those pseudo las cannons are still going to be pretty sweet.
Mm.
But what I love about this little squad is that you put that in cover on an objective and nobody wants to go anywhere near that.
Dude,
because...
Yeah.
It's going to shoot to death a whole squad of Orc Boys, and it's going to hit to death Imperial Knights. I reckon that's a sick unit.
Because let me just check. I'm pretty sure you can still give the Terminators and Deathwatch units Thunderhammers and a Bolter, but I'll check if that you can. If not, you can just give them Power Fist. But, yeah, like, the fact that these things just stop you getting charged, period, is awesome.
Yeah.
I'll check this Terminator out. Nah, you can only give them a Thunderhammer and Storm Shield, which isn't too bad. But you just don't want your Storm Shield saves on the Terminator.
No, not ideally.
Not classically, yeah.
You could also, I guess, just sort of forget about the whole Thunderhammer Storm Shield and sort of just make sure you drop them in cover to take your one up save from the Terminators.
Yeah, true.
That's awesome. That's really cool, man.
But yeah, what was your third pick, Liam?
All right. So my third pick was to really drag out of the box in your mum's basement the unit that I feel like everyone has at least 50 of from the start of 8th edition.
Tactical Marines?
Oh, no, they're still in the basement. sorry, man. I am talking about the Intercessor. The new Marine that kind of looks a little bit sexier than its smaller cousin, the Tactical Marine, that I think kind of... Even I've been guilty of this too. I've just kind of said that they were bad, but they're just not. The problem is that when you look at a unit like an Intercept, you look at it in a context of the game and you think compare to other choices. And again, I've been guilty of that too. But I think I'm just wrong. because I'm looking at intercessors now, and you realize that, again, noticing a theme here, these choices are all troops. And like a lot of troops choices, they're, look, when you see five intercessors, you're not going to be bothered by that. That's not really going to, you know, stress you out too much. But what if there are 50? What if there are 80? What if there are 100 intercessors on the table? Let's seriously talk about it, because, let's talk about 50 intercessors. 50 intercessors is 850 points.
Mm-hmm.
Now, 850 points, less than half your army, but it's also all the troops choices you need to make two battalions. So you've already got the core and the tax, if you want, of the majority of an army that has CP to function.
Mm-hmm.
So you take 50 intercessors. You're getting 100 wounds of T4. So you could almost clarify it as a horde, but it's 100 wounds with a 3-up armor as well. That means, you know, if you're careful with unit placement, the majority of those can get cover. If you're going second for 2 CP, all of those can get cover. Then you've got 100 wounds of 2-up for a turn. That's not like paper. That's not Orc Boys. That's not Gretchen. That's not even Plague Bearers. They're actually really durable. But they get better. This is a unit that has the actual melee profile of a shooter Orc Boy. And we all know that Orcs are good in combat. They have 2 strength 4 attacks. They're okay at combat. They have a gun. They shoot at strength 4, neg 1, 30-inch range. So they've got the range of a fire warrior, strength 4, and an AP, which means they can actually threaten things with armor.
Mm-hmm.
So, and up close, they've got crack grenades. They're good leadership. They can reroll morale checks with their base rules. You're kind of starting to see that this is a unit that people kind of disregard because it's the default, not the default, but it's one of the standard Marine troops choices. Mm-hmm. It doesn't really have any options to equip them differently that matter, but it's just plain good. The 17 points a model, I think, is what you pay for.
Yeah,
they're an absolute steal. But then you start sort of looking at how Marines function. And an army that I have seen at a few tournaments, especially interstate, a fellow was playing it at Newcastle Overwatch Challenge last time I went,
mm-hmm.
was intercessor spam with Gilliman.
Yep.
It's so simple. And not only is it just so simple, it's an army that, frankly, I think would almost be a good, I'm not going to say training wheels, but would almost be good for people who aren't used to playing in tournaments to take to an event. Because all you need is some cheap troop choices you can find on eBay. And Gilliman, which is a character that I think a lot of, you know, Marine players kind of want to own anyway.
Yeah.
So what this army would literally do is pump out, I don't know, 100 bolt gun shots with neg 1 to hit, sorry, with neg 1 AP, reroll all hits and reroll all wounds.
Mm.
Fine. That's pretty scary. But it's actually very fucking scary. Because what it's going to do is it's going to pick up the majority of Plague Bearer units. It's going to pick up Orc Boys like their paper. And then it's going to charge you, and then it's going to do it all again in melee. Death by numbers. You know, you look at armies like, for example, some of the biggest, scariest shooting armies out there. Let's go with Tau, for example. A Tau army is going to be able to shoot to death all of these Marines pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. But that's an army that can only do shooting. And I think I see a lot of players sort of say, oh, but Tau's going to pick my army up if I don't have terrain, so therefore it's not durable. That's kind of a bad test. Mm. Look at some other armies that do shooting really well. Frankly, Orcs. An Orc looter unit is going to threaten the Space Marine.
Yeah.
But 255 points of looters might pick up 10 intercessors. But that means they need to shoot for 2 or 3 turns to even make their points back in Marines.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have these Marines walking across the table, slaughtering all of your Orc Boys in the meantime. I genuinely think that building an army that has a lot of is not a joke.
Yeah.
And hey, just to sort of segue back to before, you write that Marine army, but also add 3 Thunderfire camps in, and boy, do you have an army.
Oh, the coolest thing about that especially is, like, let's say you're versing the Plague Bearer Horde, and they're silly enough to put a single Plague Bearer unit up front. You know, you set up your intercessors, you tremor shell that first unit and kill everything behind it, and you're just laughing.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And because I sort of like to go off on a little bit of a tangent as well, Vigilus decided that, you know, intercessors need a bit of love. So, Marines got a detachment, I think it's called Indomitus Crusaders detachment, yeah, that's the one. Like that. Yeah. It's Gilliman's new angry rant that he went around the galaxy and tried to kill everyone. But what it does is it gives you a couple of things, all of which combos really well with the army idea I just mentioned, really well with the intercessor spam. So the first is the Warlord trait for that detachment. Warlord trait, Grey Shield. What it does, at the start of any of your turns, you pick a second chapter tactic, and all of your units within six, so all of your units, get a second chapter tactic until the start of your next turn. Okay, it's a one-use only ability, but that is potentially game-changing. Mm-hmm. So what you're doing here is, once per game, you can just say, hey, my army is now Ultramarine and Raven Guard. So you can just snap your fingers and your army is now neg one to hit. No, not a unit. Your entire army is neg one to hit. Hey, that tower problem I mentioned before. All units, not models. All units within six.
Yep, nice.
So it's so easy to get your entire army to be neg one to hit and fall back and charge with ultras. But, okay, you're playing against a melee army. You're playing against plague bearers. And, you know, your marines are locked in combat and having a pretty bad time. You choose white scars. Your army can now fall back, shoot, and then charge again. You've just become Harlequins for a turn.
Mm.
But, okay, you know, you're up against, I don't know, Thousand Suns for argument's sake. You can go, hey, I want to have my entire army to have a six-up feel no pain for a turn as well. Yeah, Iron Hands. There are so many good options for this little Warlord trait that would make those intercessors just damn scary.
Mm.
But also, that same Vigilance detachment also gives you the ability to make any of your intercessor squads for one CP pregame a veteran squad. Veteran squads, I think they get an extra leadership and an extra
attack.
And an extra attack per model.
Mm.
Okay, extra leadership, not too big a deal. Extra attack per model, though, now we're talking. Because now you've got this Marine unit, only 170 points, and it's now got the melee capability per model of Orc Boys with choppers. So you've literally got a shooting unit that rerolls all hits and wounds, so it's more reliably shooting than most things in the game, that has the volume of attacks and quality of Orc Boys with choppers, but it rerolls all hits and wounds. So it's more reliable than Orc Boys as well. You've actually got this little unit that can do almost anything in the game.
Yeah.
But I'm not even done. When you make a unit veteran intercessors, it unlocks a series of strats.
And this
one of the stratagems, one CP, you literally just double the shots that come out of your gun. Your weapon goes from rapid fire one to rapid fire two. So now this... You haven't even spent too many CP, really, especially if you've got all these troops choices.
If you have double battalion and Gilliman, you have CP coming out of your arm.
Exactly. You're stacking them all up. You've got this 10-man Marine squad pumping out 40 shots now at 15 inches with reroll all hits and all wounds, charging in, fighting with 30 attacks, strength 4, reroll all hits and all wounds, and then it can just fight again if you haven't finished it off.
Mm.
You actually do the maths on this, and I have done the maths on this. A single squad of these intercessors can kill like 65 Orc Boys, not unreliable.
And like, here's the thing, you can now put a Power Fist on a Sergeant, right?
You absolutely can.
Dude, and that Sergeant's rocking 4 attacks now. he's a mini captain.
I actually don't think I don't think the Sergeant gets a bonus attack because it actually just says the squad becomes attack characteristic 3. So a little bit of a weird thing that probably wants to be FAQ'd, but I know what you're saying.
Yeah, okay.
So long story short, the options for intercessors are not lacking. You can take, again, what I mentioned is a legitimate army. You can take, I think it's 70 intercessors, the special banner to make them all fearless, a librarian, probably I think you'll have to take a captain. I want to say you can fit 3 Thunderfire cannons and Gilliman, but I'm just doing the maths in my head and that doesn't quite add up. The point is you can get pretty close to this sort of army and it will win numbers games against Hordes. It will win numbers games against tanks. It's got massed obsec. It can do lots of amazing things.
Oh man, just the thought of it. I bought 40 intercessors recently for a steal and I'm I'm pretty keen to field something like this. Even like now 30 veteran intercessors in 3 repulses is going to be strong. Like 3 repulses, 3 thunderfires and intercessors.
Oh, absolutely. And look, just going to segue off again. GW literally just released a box that's just intercessors at a discount. I think it's like a captain, 30 intercessors or something like that, and a dreadnought. And you basically get the 3rd intercessor squad half price and the redemptor for free.
That's solid.
Yeah. So, like, you just go and buy 2 of those boxes and Gilliman, and you've got, like, a 1,500-point army that will actually win some events.
Yeah.
Segwaying in for beginning players. You guys can do it. I believe in you.
Yeah, if you know, you're happy to paint 40 intercessors.
Then, well, contrast paints, mate.
Oh, fuck. Yeah, I guess. It's, But yeah, I mean, they're just some options. I mean, we've gone for about 45 minutes, Liam. Talked about a few things. I'm pretty much out. Do you have any other things you want to talk about in terms of underrated units?
Not really with underrated units, but if you wouldn't mind, I'd just like to do a quick shout out, if that's all right. I've actually got 2 to do. The first is I'm being held under duress. Ben Warrior, congratulations, you got your shout out. He's holding my children hostage. The second thing is, as I mentioned before in the podcast, I'm part of the ETC team for this year, and very, very soon we're going to be going over to Novosad to compete in ETC and hopefully not get absolutely diddled along the way. I just wanted to give a big shout out to Joshua Diffie, who, as Denise mentioned in a previous podcast episode, we have now partnered with Down Under Network to do some shared content. I want to give a shout out to Josh Diffie because this guy's commitment to this hobby is actually legendary. Josh is traveling from Brisbane to Novosad. He will play in the singles event, but during the 3 days of the team event, he is not playing. He is coming to be our coach to scout out some tables for us, keep an eye on any list we don't really understand, and also just be there to support the team. Somebody like that, who's just willing literally to just go and support other people to make the Australian team stand out, to make Australia as a scene stand out, deserves to be clapped. I mean it. He's an absolute legend.
Yeah. And just to add to that, you know, the work that Josh does with Adam on Down Under Network, they put hours and hours of stuff out, shoutcasting tournaments, putting content out on weeknights, and now, you know, traveling overseas to represent Australia. It's amazing what these guys are doing. And look, from my end, I'm so humbled and happy to be part of their team. Yeah, it's great.
Absolutely. And I think it's people like Josh and Adam take small communities and put them on a global map. I mean, it's because of Adam and Diffie that I've been speaking to people from basically all over the world about not just orc ideas, but army ideas in general. Mm. These are the people that grow a global community. And I think that anyone in Australia who hasn't already, check out Down Under Network, check out Down Under Pairings, which has lots of events and lots of results in it.
Yeah.
It's honestly a great place to start if you're thinking about getting into tournaments, because if you are a subscriber to their website, can see literally all tournament lists, which is just awesome. It's so you wicked. Can see some of the, so you can see what pretty much anyone plays.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I personally, you know, I've got a subscription to Down Under Pairings. I'm also a patron for Down Under Network because I just love what they do. And and I'm keen to see them grow because it's, you know, an alternate platform, Down Under Pairings, for hosting tournaments. But Down Under Network is now being seen more internationally as well as a leading, you know, broadcaster, 40K.
Oh, it's incredible.
That's good. I mean, that's really it. I would encourage, you know, if you've enjoyed the content today, I would encourage you to look through your own codexes and find little units that you think would work. I mean, we just brainstormed a couple of hours before this and just thought about a few options throughout the day. And these are just a handful, you know, we talked about 6 things, 3 from Liam, 3 from me. But if you look in your codex and you look at what could be good and just say, hey, could I play this differently to make it work? Could I, add a bit of spice to what I'm already playing and mix it up a little? And how will that impact my games? And frankly, that's how you grow in this game. That's how you grow competitively by changing it up.
Absolutely. And everything that shattered the meta started in someone's garage.
Yeah.
Everyone had an idea for the first time somewhere. And you might be, you know, just playing at home with your friends and having a really good time. But if you actually have an idea that you think is incredible, feel free to chuck us a message and have a chat about it. Feel free to try it at a local event and maybe you'll absolutely tear it up.
Yeah. Like
pioneer something.
Yeah. And I was going to say, like, that's part of the real enjoyment I get from this game is that thought of thinking of something new. How am I going to beat this? How am I going to make it better? How am I going to, you know, beat other people at this event that I know will be there and it'll be good. It's one of the coolest things about this game. And now that with 8th edition that so many things are viable, it just opens it up so much more.
Exactly. It's a creator's edition.
Yeah. But yeah, cool. Well, that concludes our show. Thank you, Liam, for coming on this late at night and recording.
Nah, you're all good.
It's always good to have you.
Haven't been on in a while. I'm glad to be back.
Oh, man, you're a busy man getting ready to head over. How many more weeks until you head over to Serbia?
Oh, I think the flight's on the 3rd of August.
All right, cool. Well, we'll likely get you in on another episode before you go anyway. But
fingers crossed.
Yeah, well, yeah, we definitely should. But
I could actually do an episode from Serbia.
Dude, why don't you fucking record while you're over there and send us sound bites?
You'll literally hear sound bites of me crying during the singles event. It'll be terrible.
Into the proverbial shark tank, as it's called, this ETC singles, the ESC.
Yeah. Oh.
But yeah, I mean, yeah, it'll be really cool, you know, having our own host to go to ETC and represent Australia. And we're really keen to hear how it goes afterwards. But yeah, man, record some shit, send it back. We'll pop it on. But he's dropped something.
Yep, that's just valuables. Don't worry about that.
Did Ben drop your balls, mate?
No, they make a much quieter noise.
All right. Well, for everyone listening, thank you for listening to episode 34. If you liked what you heard, please give us a like on Facebook and subscribe to us on iTunes. And leaving reviews are a really great way for new listeners to find us. If anyone wants to support us and help us cover our costs, we do have a Patreon that we launched a couple of weeks ago. It's www.patreon.com/thenormalblokes. Aside from Liam's mum and my mum as patrons, it'd be really cool to get any support.
You forgot my Nan. That's rude.
Oh, your Nan. Okay, sorry. Patron number 3. But but look, thank you for listening. Have a good weekend. See you.
See you guys. Turn it up. Let it start. From